Hebrews chapter number 1 is where we're going to start, and we're going to be in a lot of different places this morning. So I hope that you'll turn to the different passages with us this morning as we go from scripture to scripture, going through what the Bible teaches this morning. Hope you're looking forward to a great week with family and friends. A great time of year. Love getting stuff in the mail. The annual ritual of the refrigerator swap. So some of you, we've already swapped your card from this year to last year to this year, and we see the update, and we see how the kids are growing. I thought this was fun. In 1913, check out this picture. In 1913, it was legal to mail children. You know that? It was legal to mail children. And I actually checked this. Like, you know, you see these things on the internet, but it's actually, like, legit. Like, you actually were able to mail children back in 1913. And then they, of course, made it illegal. Before the practice was made illegal, it was reported a woman sent her child to her grandparents for 53 cents. 53 cents. So I don't know what that would have been like. Those children all grew up to be incredibly scarred for life, I'm sure. So I don't suspect anybody's going to be getting children in the mail, but regardless of what you have planned this week, we hope you have a great week, and thank you for being a part of our Christmas celebration this morning. We've been in this series called A Christmas Carol, and again, thank you to Lisa and to Jerry and for all the decor and all the graphics that we've been using for this series, exploring the past, present, and future aspects of the Christmas story. It's one of my favorite holiday movies. Again, shout out to the 1951 version that I really enjoy, and lots of different versions out there. And if you're not familiar with the story, by popular request, because it's the Christmas service, here is the 72nd, all right, so Christy, go ahead and get ready to get the lights. The 70s, I heard someone say, yes! Yes, it's like it's going viral. So here's the 72nd Adventure Church of Yuba City version of A Christmas Carol. Check it out.
Jab!
Oh, thank you.
Okay, so once there was this old wrinkled jerk named Scrooge who was always like,
bah, humbug.
Even during Christmas, he was like,
bah, humbug.
So even when everybody was all happy and full of the Christmas spirit and like,
Merry Christmas,
he'd still be like,
bah, humbug.
So soon enough, the Ghost of Christmas Past shows up, and it's all like,
ooh.
Then the Ghost of Christmas Present shows up, and it's all like,
ooh.
And finally, the Ghost of Christmas Future shows up, and it's like,
hey, I'm the Ghost of Christmas Future. Your dad and Tiny Tim is dead in the future. Sorry.
So all these time-traveling ghosts make Scrooge realize that he's a jerk. And instead of being like,
bah, humbug,
he should be like,
Merry Christmas!
So he runs outside and he's like,
Merry Christmas!
And he sees his nephew and he's like,
Merry Christmas!
And he sees beggars.
Merry Christmas!
And dirty orphans.
Merry Christmas!
Finally, he goes to his assistant Cratchit's house and he's like,
Bob, I'm afraid I'm gonna have to let you go.
Just kidding. Merry Christmas!
And Tiny Tim is like,
God bless us, everyone.
And everybody's like,
aww.
And the angels are like,
aww.
And that's pretty much the best Christmas story ever. The end.
The end. All right, good deal. So there is the Christmas story. Where's Philip and Trent?
Right here.
We're going to do it at the end.
Hi, really?
Sorry, I completely... I'm so excited to preach this morning. Clearly, these guys are lighting the last candle for us this morning, and I completely, like, whoosh, went after. I did. It's because I need to write it down. Oh, I did write it down. I still forgot. So, do you want to do it now? Want to do it now? Want to do it at the end? You want to do it now?
Yeah.
Okay. Want to do it now? We'll do it at the end. We'll do it at the end. All right. Cool. I've only been a pastor for 20 years. I'm a little new to the whole Christmas thing. Awesome. All right. So today we're launching into the future aspect of the Christmas story. Whenever I think of the future, you know, Ghost Christmas, you know, past, present, future, I'm always reminded of the time I took a bunch of kids. I was a children's pastor for a lot of years, and I remember taking a children's group, a children's activity, to the theater here in Yuba City when the Jim Carrey, version came out, the animated, the Disney Christmas Carol. Like, what? Go ahead and hit the next slide. What could be wrong about that, right? It's Jim Carrey, it's animated, it's from Disney, no big deal, right? How many of you have seen that version? Okay, the future part of that version is crazy scary. crazy scary. I remember I was sitting, we had like three rows of kids, and there were literally two kids, they were crying. They were crying during that part. I'm like, I am so fired. I am so fired. You know, you think, you know, and so now from now on, I always preview all that stuff. But the future, what are the future aspects? Well, I've chosen this morning as our text, Hebrews chapter number 1. Like I said, we're going to bounce around this morning, so hang on and get ready to open your Bibles and turn with us. But let me start in Hebrews chapter number 1, the first three verses. The Bible says, long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets, but in these last days he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom he also created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature, and he upholds the universe by the word of his power. After making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. So as we've looked at this series, A Christmas Carol, let me do just a quick review. Okay, quick review of where we've been, and then we'll dive into the future aspects. Week number one, the past, Christmas past. And basically we took that week to look at lessons from the different nativity characters. Okay, so the angels, it's only good news if it's shared. Share the good news. Get it out there. Don't keep it to yourselves. Mary, God does extraordinary things with fully surrendered people. And Mary's attitude, like, Lord, be it unto me as you've declared. I'm willing, I'm fully surrendered to you to be the mother of the Messiah. Joseph, life doesn't always go according to plan. And that's a huge lesson that many of us have learned through bitter tears sometimes, but it's important to remember that even in the midst of all the things going on with Joseph and his world being turned upside down, God was still there, God still had a plan, God was still in control. The shepherds out in the field, you never know when God is going to show up. They're just going to work. They're just doing their thing, just like they've done, you know, night after night after night. And then the angels appear, and you just never know when God's going to show up. Be ready. Be looking. Watch and pray. The innkeeper. I had some fun with that one because the innkeeper is not actually even mentioned in the Bible. So Scripture needs to be our guide. We need to be careful that we don't imprint on the Scriptures our own thoughts and philosophies and opinions and backgrounds. What does the Word say? What does it mean? How do we apply it to our lives? The wise men, worship and adoration has high value. We so oftentimes give God just what's left over. And the gifts of the wise men remind us of the value and importance of adoration and worship. Herod, some people will just miss it. And what does our response need to be when we run into people and they don't see Christmas the way we see Christmas? Is it to be harsh and unloving and mean and impatient? No, be patient. Pray for people. Use that as opportunities to be mindful of what they might be going through. And then the last one, Jesus, keep the main thing the main thing. You know, and don't let anything crowd Jesus out of our Christmas celebrations. That was Christmas past. Last week, we took a really unique approach to the story of Christmas and looking at Christmas present. And the Christmas present aspect of the Christmas Carol story is to see what's happening in other parts, you know. So it's happening contemporaneously to what was happening to Ebenezer Scrooge at the time. And so we took some time last week just to look at, you know, what is going on with other people around us, because we get ready for Christmas, we celebrate Christmas, we get excited for Christmas. Christmas is not a great time of year for a lot of people. And so as we go through this season of the year, we've got to remember people around us. We need to remember the separated. And we talked about military families and some of the stresses and strains that are placed upon them as they're apart during holidays and special times. We need to remember the hurting. People's lives have been turned upside down, and you know, people who've suffered, you know, in their marriages and their families and in their jobs and their relationships and finances, just all these areas. Like, I thought I was going to be here, and instead I'm over here, and I'm just hurting. I'm just really struggling. We need to remember those people at the Christmas season. We need to remember the grieving. There are a lot of people who are celebrating Christmas this year without a son, without a daughter, without a mom or a dad, a grandma or a grandpa. We need to remember that there are people around us that are grieving as we're going and entering into our Christmas celebration. And we need to remember the persecuted. And we talked about Pastor Saeed and others that are suffering for their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ around the world because of believing. And I mean, wouldn't Pastor Saeed love to be in a service like this today, where he could be openly and publicly praising, worshiping God? Couldn't our brothers and sisters in oppressed parts of the world love to be a part of a service like this? Absolutely. So we need to remember the persecutor. Remember what they're going through at this time. So that was just a quick flyby. So if you want to catch up, those messages, they're on our website. We've also got an app. If you've got an iPhone or an Android, you can download our app, and the messages are right there, and you can catch up with what we've been at with our series. So now we focus on the future element. The future element. You know, in books and films and culture, all the great stories and all the great characters have arcs, A-R-C-S, arcs to their stories. This past Monday, my daughter and I attended the IMAX marathon of the Hobbit trilogy. The entire trilogy in IMAX. My daughter and I went. That was for her her sweet 16 birthday a couple weeks ago. And just a quick caveat, with 10 hours of Middle Earth goodness. 10 hours. So if you're new here and you're looking for a home church, you have to, if you want to be a part of this church, you have to accept the fact that the pastor is a geek and a nerd. That's just part of it. So it's like in the fine print of our membership documents, I understand that our pastor is a geek and a nerd, and I still want to be a part of this church. But check out that story. Bilbo Baggins, he has this amazing arc to his story from the beginning to the end. And one of the dangers of the holiday season is that we leave Jesus right where it's comfortable for most people, and that's in the manger. We'll just leave him there. Let's leave him in the nativity. Let's leave him, it's cute, it's nice, it's cuddly, it gives us warm feelings. We have presents, we have dinners, we have parties, we have all these things. Let's keep Jesus there. It asks nothing of me. The baby Jesus asks nothing of me. It's something to be observed rather than challenged by. But in doing so, we neglect the truth of this season. And the truth of this season is that a Savior was born. A Savior was born. Don't leave Jesus in the manger. There is an arc to the story of Jesus that is past, present, and future. And if we miss out on those aspects, we miss a lot of what we're trying to celebrate this time of year, and that's what we celebrate. So, this future element of Christmas is displayed as we explore the following. So a couple of points I'm going to leave you with today. If you want to jot some notes in your bulletin, please feel free to do so this morning. Number one, the wonder of his incarnation. Okay, the wonder of his incarnation. The future element begins with an understanding of just who this person is that we celebrate. Who is this Jesus that we celebrate today? He's not just a prophet. He's not just a teacher. He's not just an example. He is God. And that is the wonder and the beauty and the majesty of the incarnation, where God becomes flesh and dwells among us. Look how he's described here in Hebrews chapter number 1. He has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature, and he upholds the universe by the word of his power. He is the creator. He is the sustainer. He is God. The disciples, when Jesus was on earth, when Jesus was ministering on earth with his disciples, his followers, and they said, Jesus, just show us the Father and it will be sufficient for us. Like, we want to see God. If you show us God, then we'll know this is legitimate. We'll know this is on the up and up. Just give us that sign. And what did Jesus reply? He said, if you've seen me, you've seen who? The Father. Jesus made no apologies for the fact that he was God. Turn with me to John chapter number 1. John chapter number 1. That is, it's page 758 there in that adventure Bible we handed out. So if you're not sure where that's at, you can turn there to John chapter number 1. And let me read what it says here. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. To understand the future aspect of Christmas is to first understand who Jesus is. God. God coming to earth, born of a virgin, completely sinless, apart from the sinful nature that is carried on from father to child, father to child, father to child. God supernaturally comes upon Mary and she gives birth to the Son of God without sin. Completely sinless. C.S. Lewis coined the trilemma, and that is Jesus is either a liar, he's a lunatic, or he's Lord. If Jesus said, I am God, and if that is true, then he is Lord. He is everything he said he was going to be. If it's false, if he's sincere, he's insincere, he's a liar, and if he's sincere, he's a lunatic. There is no middle ground when it comes to Jesus. What do you think of Jesus today? Is he everything he said he was or nothing he said he was? Popular culture and popular belief is we can take parts of Jesus and those are the parts that we like. Like, oh, he was a good teacher. He was a good example. He was a good model. Well, if you don't buy into what he said, then there's no point in taking all the rest. You've got to take Jesus as everything or nothing. He can't be a good teacher and you not follow the things that he taught. Liar, lunatic, Lord. C.S. Lewis came up with that, who was an atheist and came to know the Lord Jesus as personal Savior. So number one, the wonder of his incarnation. Just wonder in that as you think about that this Christmas season. God becoming man, dwelling among us. Number two, the future element of Christmas is displayed as we explore the payment for our justification. The payment for our justification. Back in Hebrews 1, verse 3, it says, after making purification for sins. Making purification for sins. So it's this idea of Jesus Christ made the payment for our sins. Now, turn with me to Romans chapter number 5. So just a few pages over, Romans chapter number 5, page 807 in that Adventure Bible if you've got one of those. Romans chapter 5, and let's take a look at these verses that it says about being justified. And we'll talk about what that means here in just a minute. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings. Check that out. Knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. To be justified. There is no future. There is no future without the payment made for sin by Jesus Christ. Look at verses 12 through 18 later. I mean, just take a look at Romans 5, 6, 7, 8. Read that this week. It will give you such a depth of understanding of what it means to be bought back by the blood of Jesus Christ as he died upon the cross for our sins. There is no future without the payment made for sin by Jesus Christ. Why? Because we are all born in sin. We are all born sinful. We are all born defective in a way in which we have fallen short of the glory of God. We have fallen short of the righteousness of God. And the wage for that sin is death. The wage for that sin, the penalty for that sin, the appropriate response to that sin is separation from God. So God sends his son to die on the cross for our sins and substitutes himself. That's why it's so important that he be sinless. If Jesus had sinned, if Jesus had done wrong, if Jesus had thought wrong, if Jesus had spoken wrong, if Jesus had wrong motivations, wrong intent, wrong desire, if there was anything about Jesus that was marred in any way, he would have to pay for his own sin. But he comes as the perfect, spotless, without blemish Lamb of God to substitute himself for my sin, to substitute himself for your sin, to substitute himself for all the sin in the world. And when we accept Jesus as our personal Savior, we become justified, declared righteous by God. It's a judicial term. It's acquitted. It's not guilty. You are not guilty. Nothing can be held against you because Jesus has taken it all. What an awesome thing to celebrate. What an awesome thing to remember that all the punishment, you know, all my punishment, all my sin, all my shame, all my guilt, all those things, all placed upon Jesus and he dies on the cross. And the Bible says all of his righteousness and all of his holiness and all of his everything, it covers me now. So when God looks down from heaven upon me, he doesn't just see Greg Manser, he sees the righteousness of Jesus Christ because I have been placed in Christ. That's an awesome thing to celebrate. But it comes at a price. The payment for our justification was his death on the cross of Calvary. Romans 10:13 says that those that call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Saved from what? Saved from sin, saved from selfishness, saved from judgment. All of those things. A future is now available to us that was not. Why? Because Jesus has come to take our place. And as we have often said around here, Jesus did not come just to make us better. He didn't come just to make us better versions of ourselves. He came to make us new people, to be born again with a new life, new hope, new outlook, a new family, a new mindset, new goals, new aspirations, to be new, to be cleansed, to be bought, to be free. That's what we celebrate this Christmas. And when we consider the future aspects of what Jesus has done, we have to remember his payment for our justification. In Romans 8, we're still in Romans, if you want to flip over just a page to verse number 30, you can see where we're going with this very last point. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he also called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. He also glorified. And that brings us to our third point. The anticipation of our glorification. The anticipation of our glorification. One of those new things that are ours is a new home, a new destination. Back in Hebrews 1, we read about this place of authority and majesty. And Hebrews 1:1-3 gives us this great picture of cradle to cross to crown. He comes as a babe. He dies on the cross for the purification of our sins. And then He is placed at the right hand of the throne of majesty on high. So glorification is what? Glorification is the end, the future result of the redemption provided by Jesus. Revelation describes this as no more tears, no more pain, no more sadness, no more separation, no more death, no more cancer, no more disease, no more hospital, no more pharmacies, no funeral homes. None of that stuff. There is more to life than the 70 to 80 years we spend on this planet in these bodies. We get a new body, a new home, unencumbered by our sinful, selfish predispositions. Yes! Because even though we're redeemed, even though we're saved, even though we're bought, even though we're purchased and we're covered with the blood of Jesus, we still struggle, don't we? We still struggle. We've got this old nature, this flesh that wants to be fed constantly. And the Bible says the day is coming when we won't have any of those things holding us back anymore. That's what we have to look forward to. That's what we anticipate. Anticipation is a beautiful and a terrible thing, right? It's beautiful and it's terrible. I can't wait for fill in the blank to happen. I shared last week, you know, when it came to Joshua coming home, and I was able to go to the airport, and I knew he was coming, and it's Southwest, so it's the new terminal, and they've got the, you know, the shuttle tram that comes back and forth, you know, while you're waiting, and every shuttle tram, it's like, I mean, he had the longest taxi in the history of the world, I think, because he texted me and said he landed, and there must have been at least 55 shuttles, you know, that came through without my kid getting off there, and everyone, it's like, is it him? Is it him? Is he on this one? Tracy's like, do you have him yet? Like, where is he at? I'm like, I know he's on the ground. He's landed. But I'm still waiting. I'm anticipating. But I don't want us just to think in terms of our anticipation, of what we're anticipating for this amazing day. I want us to think of it from Jesus' perspective. Turn with me back to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter number 12, page 866. He says, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, future anticipation, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. What was the joy set before him? Why did he endure all that he endured to come and live this life and to go and be nailed to a cross and die the brutal death that he died? What was the joy that was before him? You know what it was? It was me. It was you. It was the anticipation of the day in which we will be united together forever. This new life that we will have because of Jesus. We sang the song earlier, joy to the world, the Lord is come. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. We celebrate that. When people come into the kingdom, the song could be sung, joy to the kingdom, Greg has come. Joy to, doesn't the Bible say that? When someone comes to belief, there's rejoicing in heaven. Why? Because there's that anticipation that we will be together, we'll be reunited with those that we love. And we'll be reunited, more, most importantly, with the Lord. One of the great visuals in the Bible of this relationship is of the bride and the bridegroom. And we've got some engaged couples in our midst this morning. And folks, and you're anticipating that day, right? You can't wait. You know, the consummation to be together forever as husband and wife. And the Bible gives that same kind of picture, that same kind of visual. He is the bridegroom, we're the bride, and one day we are going to be together. And we think about Christmas future, we think about his anticipation for that day, the joy that was before him. Let me close one last text, Revelation 21, very last chapter in the Bible, or last book of the Bible. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more, neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. We anticipate that day, but Jesus was anticipating that day as he endured the cross, despising the shame, the joy that was set before him. Christmas future. Christmas future. A Christmas Carol is certainly one of several classic films that we enjoy this time of year. But there's another film coming out this Christmas that is sure to inspire many, many people, unless the North Koreans get upset by it. The film is Unbroken. How many of you have read this book? Okay, I got to read the book. I had the privilege a couple of weeks ago to go see this film early. A couple of weeks ago, down in Sacramento, they were providing screenings for pastors and other church leaders, and we had the opportunity to go down to Natomas and check this out. And certainly inspiring, directed by Angelina Jolie, based on the life story of Louis Zamperini. And really inspirational, but really tough, really difficult subject matter. So just kind of know that going into it. But I just want us to be mindful of the rest of the story, that which, if you've read the book, you know this part of the story, but if you just see the film, you'll miss, it's alluded to, but it's not nearly as strong as probably what many of us would have liked to have seen on screen as it relates to his life after after being set free. Tormented by nightmares, drinking heavily, Zamperini became alienated from his wife, who intended to divorce him, until she went to hear Billy Graham speak in downtown Los Angeles, 1949. After hearing Graham, Zamperini's wife decided to stay married to him, and she convinced him to go hear Billy Graham for himself. The first time Zamperini left, she says he didn't like hearing someone say he was a sinner. Didn't like that at all. Who is he to tell me that I'm a sinner? Maybe some of you have had that same reaction this morning when we talked about the fact that we're all born into sin. But Zamperini came back a few days later, and when this is Franklin Graham telling the story, when his father Billy gave the invitation for people to put their faith and trust in Christ, instead of running out of the tent, he went forward. And his life was so dramatically changed. He went home that night, got rid of his pornography, got rid of his alcohol, threw his cigarettes away. He found his Bible that was given to him in the military, and he began to read and study the Bible, and his life was transformed instantly that day. And it stayed with him the rest of his life. He never turned from what he had put his faith and trust in, and that was Jesus Christ. He died earlier this year, and he said these words, and I quote, "The heart of this story is when I found Christ as my Savior. That's the heart of my whole life." The heart of his story is that Jesus Christ was his Savior. Do you know Jesus as your Savior? Do you know the Christ of Christmas? Has there been a time in your life when you surrendered and said, "God, I believe that what you did on the cross you did for me"? Or are you still kind of holding out? Are you still hoping that your good is going to outweigh your bad in the grand cosmic scale in the sky? Are you still hoping that coming to church or giving money or being baptized or the other things that man does in a religious way will in some way find us favor with God? The Bible makes it very clear. The only thing that brings us favor with God is His grace, and His grace is only found through faith in Jesus Christ. I want to encourage you today, if you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, seek me out. Seek out one of our staff members that was up here in the front. Ask us, and let us show you from the Bible, not the adventure church way, what the Bible teaches about what it means to know Jesus as personal Savior. Christmas future is awesome. It's awesome because one day we're going to be all together. We're going to be with Jesus. We're going to be with parents. We're going to be with children. We're going to be with loved ones that have gone on. We're going to be together. And we celebrate the Christ of Christmas this year. Let's pray together this morning. Father God, thank you so much for this time that we've had to open your word, to be challenged, to explore what it means, what Christmas future looks like. Help us not to leave Jesus in the nativity. Help us not to leave Jesus in the manger. Help us to realize that Jesus, he went to the cross. And from the cross, he went on to glory. And he waits. He anticipates our glorification when we'll be united with him. There's a home waiting for us. And Father, if there's one here that does not know Jesus as personal Savior, they have questions, they have doubts, they're just unsure. Lord, maybe their story is a lot like Louis Zamperini's, who just didn't want to hear what the Bible had to say. I pray, Lord, that even today you would convict their heart and show them what it means to know Jesus as personal Savior, to call upon the name of the Lord and be saved, and to have a new life, a new outlook, a new destiny, a new home, a new family. We're just grateful, Lord, for the privilege that you've given us to be a part of this service today. And we ask that you'd bless in these remaining moments, for it's in Jesus' name that we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen.